Good day. It's good to see you tonight. It's good to be in the Lord's house, isn't it? Amen. I appreciate the opportunity to be here and the good spirit is here. Seemed like everybody's charged up for some reason tonight. I heard all that. I told Brother Dennis over, I said, everybody sure is chattery tonight. That's a good thing, though. That's a good thing. But I appreciate the Lord. Appreciate you being here. And if you got your Bibles, let's look over in 2 Peter. Nearly about all the way at the end of your Bible. 2 Peter chapter number 1 is where we're going to be at tonight. Appreciate the Word of God, what it means to us and how it helps us. Second Peter chapter number 1. The Bible says this, starting in verse 1, it says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you, and abound, they make you, that ye shall neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. I'm interested in those three places there, verse 9, verse 12, and verse 13. Verse 9, Peter makes a statement. He says, and hath forgotten. Verse 12, he says, he's going to put you always in remembrance of these things. Verse 13, he said it's meet, or it's very important, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by doing what? Putting you in remembrance. So Simon Peter here, he says, I want to stir you up. And I want to say this, and I want to see if you'll give me an amen. If you've got the Holy Ghost living inside of you, it's easy to get a cloud over him. It's easy to get bogged down and baffled with the things of this world and forget the goodness of God. And forget, it's possible to forget the blessings of God and how good He's been to you. But Peter says, I want to stir you up. So that lets me know, ain't nobody ever went to the kitchen and got a pot out on the counter there and got a spoon and started stirring in the pot. Somebody thought you was crazy, right? There ain't nothing in that pot to stir. But whenever somebody's got something on the stove, they'll get a spoon or whatever, and they'll stir all the ingredients in it. You know why they do that? Because everything will settle. And they're trying to get everything mingled together and everything mixed together so that all the good flavors will combine, and then you got a good dish. So listen to me. This is the Wednesday night crowd, a good crowd. And I believe that probably a lot of you, most of you are saved in here. You got the Holy Ghost in you, and a lot of you's joy may be full tonight. A lot of you's joy may be just to the brim tonight. You may be as happy as you can be. But then again, there may be some here that's mediocre. And then there may be some that's really rubbing the bottom. You know, your joy is just down in the dumps. There's no joy hardly left. You struggle to get to God's house. It's literally a task to do the things that you once enjoyed in the Lord. And you know, Simon Peter said, all that stuff's in the pot. So I want to get the spoon tonight, and I want to get the spoon and sort of stir things up. I know it's down in you. So let's see tonight if the Word of God can stir some things up. And I want to title it this right here. And I believe all of what I just described is the workings of old Lucifer and his crowd himself. There is some things that he wants you to forget. There's a lot of things that God has done for you and your family that the devil would love to flash something in front of you or give you something so you'll forget all about God. Am I right about it? He would love to get your mind off of God's, what I'm saying. He would love for you to forget how good God's been in the past. He'd love for you to forget all the blessings that he's bestowed upon you, even your salvation. He'd love for you to forget how that joy once lived down in your soul and it bubbled up so that everybody could see your light did shine one, in the past, and everybody saw your light. But the devil would love to hide it under a bushel. He'd love to hide that joy and get your mind off of God. That's what I know he will. He's done me that way. But I want to look here at some things the devil wants you to forget. First of all, I believe that the devil, and foremost, I believe he wants you to forget your independence. Notice there in verse 1 what he says. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. In other words, that's our salvation. When I got saved, I obtained that faith. It belongs to God. Give me faith. I've got faith in God, but God give it to me. That's a big old thing, but God placed that faith. Now I obtain it, which means it's mine. I've got faith, and therefore, because I have that faith, I'm independent from a few things. Amen? I have independence. Whenever the United States in 1776, they drew up that Declaration of Independence, they were declaring that they were independent from the King of England and the England Colony. They were independent of all of that. And you know, when you got saved, when you knelt in an altar, wherever it might have been, you became independent. You and the Holy Ghost drafted up a document saying that you are independent from the devil and his tactics. Amen? Ain't you glad that the Lord bought us with a price? Ain't you glad that the Lord reached further down than we could reach up? Ain't you glad that he come to where you was? You just think about that just for a minute. He could have got anybody on your block. He could have got anybody in your town. He could have got anybody but you. He could have got the one that you run with and let you live your merry life, let you make your money and do everything the way the American dream is, and left you alone. But I'm glad that he came to where I was, and he set my soul under arrest and showed me that I was lost and on my way to hell, and he saved my wretched soul. I say glory to it. I said I'm independent tonight from all the devil's done. Amen. Amen. I'm independent. I'm glad tonight. I'm going to look over in Romans chapter number 6 and just read you a few verses. You can turn if you want to, but Romans chapter number 6 and verse number 16. I'm glad I'm free. I'm independent from sin's grip. Verse 16, Romans chapter 6, the Bible says this, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants," you hear that? "His servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether unto sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." So we once, listen to me, as a lost person, they're literally in bondage. They are literally a slave to sin. When we were saved, we were bought with a price. We were on the auction block. We were a slave, literally on the auction block. And Jesus came and He paid the debt for you and I and bought us, literally. I'm glad of that. So I'm free from the grip of sin. But not only the grip of sin, but I'm free of the guilt of sin. Look at verse 21. The Bible says this, "What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed?" There's a lot of things. There's a lot of things in my past. There's a lot of things that I'm ashamed of. Amen. There's a lot of things that'll weigh heavy on you. But I'm glad by the blood of Jesus Christ that I'm free of that guilt of those things. It's gone forevermore. And listen to me. That old song that says, "What sins are you talking about?" I'm glad that God don't know about them sins. If He did know about them, He would have to judge them. He's put them behind His back. He's removed them as far as the east is from the west. He said He would remember them no more. Therefore, they're gone. And therefore, I shouldn't have any guilt on them. Amen. Amen. But not only that, the grave of sin. Notice verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." The wages of sin is death. I'm independent from that. Listen, I do not have to die. I'm living forever. This old flesh here that you're looking at tonight, yeah, one of these days, if the Lord tarries, He's coming, it'll probably be put here on this hill with the rest of them. Listen, my loved ones, your loved ones, we're going to the grave one of these days in this flesh. But there is a part of me, there's something on the inside of me that will never die, and that's my soul, because I'm saved. Hey, I'm telling you, I'm independent from the grave of sin. Listen to me. He wants you to forget that. He wants you to forget that you are independent, that you're free from these things. Listen, not only your independence, but also our inspiration. Watch your Bible there. Verse number 2, he says this, our inspiration, "Grace and peace be" what? "Multiplied unto you through the knowledge of our God and our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, grace and peace be multiplied. I'm inspired. I'm fueled up. I get my energy. I get my go. I get my You know what I'm saying? I got that extra mile in me because I'm inspired by some things. Amen? You know how it is? Whenever you get in a church house and the songs go to sing, and your song, the one that you like, the one that turns your crank, amen, the one that cranks your tractor, y'all know what I'm talking about. I'm telling you, that's what inspires you. It moves you when you're having a bad day. This is the Wednesday night crowd. You know what to do. When everything's going kaput, when everything is sour, you know that you better put you some preaching in that CD player. You know you better put your favorite song in. And I ain't talking about "Ache You, Break Your Heart." I'm talking about, amen, "Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound." You know where you better go. You'd better find God before this world gets the best of you. And that is inspiring you. It's driving you. It's giving you a little more gas to get down the road. It's easy to come in here Sunday and get fueled up. But a lot of times, I'm just being honest with you, that sometimes that gas will last you till Wednesday. Sometimes it don't. Sometimes you can leave out of here Sunday, be 12:30 or whatever, and you're already out of gas by 5 o'clock.
Amen. Sometimes it'll last a while, but that's just the way it is. Amen. It just depends on if the devil wants to stop down at your house or not. But listen to me. I'm telling you how to get energized, get inspired by the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. I'm glad there's inspiration from the brethren. Hey, there's a crowd, Hebrews 12:1, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. There's a lot of folks that's went on before us. There's a lot of preachers. There's a lot of teachers. There's a lot of people that have sit in places that you're sitting. And the devil will paint a picture that you're the only one that's ever sit there. You're the only one that's had to have it this way. But listen, I'm telling you, there's a multitude that's done been where you are and done been through what you've been through. I know it's rough. I know life can be tough. Life can absolutely 100% be unfair. But listen, there is a cloud of witnesses that's done been there, that's done dead and gone. But then again, there's a cloud of witnesses that's in this building that look at you and are inspirational to you. I appreciate each and every one in here. I can look at your life. I can look at you and I know a little bit about you. I think of Chuck there and I know him and I know his past. Brother Conrad over there. And I say that because I'm glad I can say brother. A lot of y'all don't realize me and Conrad used to work together. And I can remember Conrad back then. I remember how he was. And I remember when I was pastoring, I got word that Brother Conrad got saved. And what a blessing that was. And now, every time I look over at Brother Ken, at Brother Conrad, and see that, I see how big God is. Amen? And that's an inspiration to me. That fuels me. I know some of your testimonies. I know what you've been through. I know the deaths you faced. I know the hard times. Some of the addictions you faced. I know a lot of things that you faced. And I look at you and I see you still sitting in that pew. I see you still going on for the glory of God. And I look at that and I say, hey, if they can do it, I can do it. I believe I'll go on for God. Amen. Ain't that a blessing? Inspired by from the brethren, but from this old book here. You know, I don't know what it'd be tough. You know, I don't know what America's holding. I don't know what's coming, but I try to memorize some verses. But you don't know what's going to happen. You do know that there is certain countries that this right here is illegal. You'll say, that'll never happen in the United States. I wouldn't speak. I've seen a lot of things happen that I would have never dreamed in a zillion years that would happen. You better take this as something precious. And if it's just 1, 2, 3 verses, you better get them and memorize them. Listen, studying's one thing, but it'd be a good idea to get you a few of them and memorize them. And get them in your soul and rehearse them things without looking at it and dig in. Ain't you glad for the Bible tonight? The Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That Word of God is alive. It's what we have, the tangible thing that we have in our hands that is living, that is a love letter from God to help us along the way. We need this book. This book will inspire you. Not only that, but the Spirit of God, the Blessed Spirit. I see John chapter 14. I'm going to read you that. I know I'm turning a lot of places. You can just listen or pick your nose or do something, but I don't like to turn a lot, but I believe I ought to. John chapter 14, verse 16, the Lord's about to leave the scene. He's about to go on to Calvary, and he's telling his disciples, he says, I'll pray the Father, and he'll give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Have you ever wondered, and I know you have, how in the world somebody that's lost can go up to a hill like this up here, or the graveyard down at Bowden, or wherever our loved ones are. Can you imagine? I can't even fathom how they can go to that grave and that casket's lowered down into that ground and no hope of ever seeing them again. Can you? That's got to be so hard. That's got to be so difficult. But I'm glad, according to the Word of God, that the Spirit of truth, who the world cannot receive, He's with us. He is there for us. He takes care of us. It's a blessing that we've got the Spirit. Amen? He says this, "It seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you." He's inside us. He lives with us. When you do that wrong, when you do that, when you say that, when you look at that, or whatever it might be, that Holy Spirit is what's inside of you telling you no. But He's also one there when you're down in the valley, when you're down in the dump. He's the one that you feel come and put His arm around you spiritually, I'm saying. And He's the one that encourages you. He's not only for correction, which He is a corrector, but He's also a cheer giver. Amen. The Lord loves us. The devil wants you to forget your independence. And he wants you to forget your inspiration. He wants you to forget all about that. You want more money? Here's you more money. You want another house? Here's you another house. You want this? Here's you something to do. Go do this on Sunday. Whatever. He wants you to just forget all about that stuff down there at Liberty. They do that every Sunday down there. Forget all about that. But you better not forget it. Simon Peter said, "I'm going to stir you up by putting you into remembrance." He wants you to forget your intercessor. Your intercessor. Hebrews chapter number 13 and verse number 5. Very familiar verse. Hebrews 13 and verse number 5. We know what it says. "For he hath said, I will never leave thee." I'll never leave thee. He wants you to forget. He wants you to hop in your car, head down the road, go to work tomorrow, go to school, wherever it might be. He wants you to forget that there's a thrice holy God that's with you every second. While you go home tonight and lay your head down on your pillow and go out and go to snoring and go to sleep, God neither slumbers nor sleeps. He does not leave an eye. He does not take His eyes off of you. He is always there. He is looking at you and caring for you. Ain't that a blessing? Listen to me. Not only is he our intercessor, knows our location, but also let's look at His love. He said, "I'll never leave thee," or what? "Nor forsake thee." His love. He loves us tonight. I'm glad that He will never forsake us. There's been a lot of people, probably in this room, a lot of people that you know that have been forsaken before in their life at certain sometime or another. Probably everybody in the room. Somebody has done you wrong. Somebody has put you down. Somebody has kicked you while you was down. Somebody, but He'll never forsake you. He'll never be ashamed of you. Listen, He is a God that loves you. This world and this legal system that's out there in a lot of the churches, they want you to believe that God is against you and God wants to rule you with a rod. He wants to beat you down in the dirt and whoop you all the time. But listen to me, God is for your betterment. God loves you. He's not going to let you go out and live like a dog and act crazy, but He wants to strengthen you and encourage you and build you up and conform you to the image of His Son. So we see our intercessor in His location, His love. But notice also in verse number 6, His labor of that same Hebrews chapter number 13, verse 6. Here it is. "So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper." Now, let's pause just a minute on that. The Lord is my helper. And it's easy for us you know, we're so prosperous today and we've got so much, we're blessed to the hilt, we got anything that we want. Listen, we've got all these things and it's easy for us to forget who our help is. You know, it's easy for us to even forget how we got out of bed in the morning. You know, if it wasn't for the Lord, where would you be tonight? If it wasn't for God's blessing your life, you say, well, preacher, you just don't know what all's gone wrong. You don't know what all's bad in my life right now. But I'm going to tell you, it could be a whole lot worse. It could be a whole lot worse. But listen to me, the Lord is my helper. I sure am glad that I don't have to get up tomorrow and go out and face my job and face the public and face every trouble and every problem that I'm going to have without any help. You ever been doing a job that was difficult? You strain all your muscles. You just didn't have the strength to do it. And life can be that way. Life can be hard. Life can take every ounce of energy you've got. All of your strength. It'll stress you to the max. It'll pull you apart in 59 different directions. But I'm glad when you're weak, He's made strong. And He can take care of you because He is our helper. He's the help. Boy, we need Him, don't we? The older I get, the more I realize I can't live without Him. I've got to have Him. I've got to have Him. And it's a fearful thing to think that I could lose Him. I can't lose Him, but I guess the devil puts that in you and you think, what if He left you? What if He left you all alone? What if He left you by yourself and let you do things the way you think you want to a lot of times? I sure am glad He don't. I'm glad He never leaves us, and I'm glad He never forsakes us. And I'm glad He's there as our helper. Not only our independence and our inspiration, our intercessor, but lastly, He wants you to forget your inheritance. Some of y'all knew where I was going with that fourth point, didn't you? I'm glad that I've got a good inheritance. Amen? Ain't that a blessing? Everything down here really doesn't matter. It really don't. You can accumulate, you can get, you can accumulate, you can get, you can get all this stuff. And I've seen it 1,000 times. I'm bullheaded. I can't learn this. But you get something new, and it ain't 3 months and the shine's knocked off. I'm so bored of it. I'm tired of it. I can go buy a new toy. I can go buy this or whatever it is. And boy, it's nice for 3 weeks. And then that fourth week, I don't care about that thing. That's the way it is, Dan. That's the best the world's got. Listen, you can take a multi-millionaire. I know what I'm talking about. You can take a multi-millionaire and give him things. He can buy anything he wants, and he'll be tired of it, just like you and I. I'm telling you what I'm talking about. I know what I'm saying. But I have an inheritance. I got something. This short life, this brief blink that we're in right here, it amazes me how fast it is. I mean, it amazes me. It blows my mind. I remember being young and the older people telling me that you'll be 50 years old one day. And I thought, good Lord, that's old. Y'all remember that? Here I am. And honestly, I can't remember my 30s, my 40s. I can't remember all that. I don't know where it went. I should have kept a journal or something other, I guess, where I'd remember it. I think I may have went to sleep when I was 27 and just woke up the other day. It's gone. I'm telling you the truth. And you know, I'm 50 now, and if the Lord tarries, He's coming in and allows me to live, 70 or 75 or maybe even 80 if I'm very fortunate. How much quicker is that going to go, that 20 or 25 years, than 50 years that's done gone? And it seems like the brakes has went out on the truck somehow or another. It won't slow down a lick. We headed down an icy hill wide open, and it won't stop. But I'm glad I've got an inheritance. I'm glad when it's all said and done. When it's all, see, the devil wants you to know this. But when it's all said and done, when it's all this down here that just, you know, we get so tore up about and so amused at, when it's all said and done, I got an inheritance. Watch with me now. Watch with me in 1 Peter, in chapter number 1, verse number 4. Simon Peter tells us a little bit about this. And you ought to, listen, you ought to take this. Put it in your pipe and smoke it. Yeah, man? Listen, you ought to take this and digest it. When you get to feeling bad, whenever ain't nothing. I know y'all may not have days like this, but I do. Some days it seems like don't nothing go right. It seems like if I look at it, it's going to go sour. Anybody else, y'all ever have any days like that where it seems like just everything, I should have stayed in the bed that morning. If I did, the legs might have broke off the bed. But you know what? When you get in those predicaments, this would be a good place to go. I'm telling you the truth. The devil does not want you to remember this. He wants you to lay in that bed. He wants you to look at that problem and try your best to solve it. He wants you to try to figure on it. He wants you to worry about it. He wants you to stress over it. He wants you to tell this and tell that and worry and worry and worry. He don't want you to get in the Word of God. He wants you to forget all of it. Listen to me. Simon Peter, chapter 1 Peter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Verse 4. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away. Watch this. And it's reserved in heaven for you. Now, I believe this would be just fine. I believe the Lord would allow this. Now, you ain't supposed to change that Bible there. But I tell you what would do you good. You can put a little slash through that U right there. And write, if you saved tonight, you can write M-E. I believe it'd be just fine. Because He's wrote this letter to each one of us individually that's saved. So in order, it could read like they're reserved in heaven for me. Ain't that a blessing? So I've got a reservation there. So we see not only that. Let's look on here. We see not only it's a gift, but it's guaranteed. Watch this. Who, verse number 5, who are kept, preserved, who are kept by the what? Power of God. Ain't that a blessing? You see, I'm saved, I'm sealed, and I'm soon to be delivered. I'm telling you. I'm saved. I'm born again. If you're here tonight, you ought to tell the devil, I'm saved. Listen to me. Everything in your life may change by morning. I mean, listen, a lot of people have woke up thinking everything's going to be the same. It could change by noon tomorrow. I mean drastically. Everybody's life could change. But I'll tell you one thing that won't change. I'll tell you one thing that's settled in the corridors of time all throughout eternity, and that is whosoever believeth on the name of Christ shall be saved. And if you're saved, you're kept. Who are kept? Who are kept? Who are kept by the power of God? And you know what? The devil can't stand that verse. You ought to read it to him. He wants you to forget some things. He's trying to forget some things. Read him that verse. Read it to him. Say, I'm kept. I'm sealed up. I'm sealed to the day of redemption. Not only that, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Verse 6, we see it's going to be good. Wherein? Wherein what? Wherein that we're saved and we're kept. Ye greatly rejoice. We greatly rejoice. Though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. Yeah, there's going to be some things we go through down here. There's going to be some. That's just, if anybody can figure out how not to do that, I want to buy you a book. It's just a fact. we are going to see tough times. You say, you know, some folks has went through the mill and back 28 times. And I wish I could tell them that there's not a 29th time. But there very possibly could be. You may have had cancer two times, and I wish I could tell you you will not have it again. But the fact of the matter is, we don't know. It's life. It's life. And you know what? We may have trouble. We may have trials. We may have difficulties and face things that we are not liking. But we've got all these things on our side. We can greatly rejoice. That the trial of your faith being much more precious than that of gold, that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable. There's joy again. And full of glory. I sure am glad tonight. On the things that the devil would have us to forget. The things that he tries to distract us from. Now you may not be listening, but there's some listening. There's some people that the devil has got you totally distracted. He's got you so blinded. Remember that verse number 6 back in our text? He's got us blinded and he's got us to where we forgot how blessed we are. He's got us to forget that we even saved. He'll get you to the place to where you even doubt in your salvation. He's a scoundrel. But this right here will fix it. I'm telling you, it'll fix it. Ain't you glad God's good to us? Ain't you glad God saved you? A lot of y'all in here, I look at you and I think, boy, what a blessing it is that God saved some of y'all. It really is. It's a blessing. Truth be known, you know, I know there's some sweet people. There's some fine people in here. I wish to goodness I had some of your character traits. But the fact of the matter is we all ought to be in hell. That's the truth. I'm talking about from the best of whoever, if there is such a best, to the worst, whatever that is. We label all this stuff anyway. It ain't God labeling. You know, we all ought to be in the pits of hell screaming. But he saw fit to come where you was. In the power of Acts chapter number 9, the power of the Holy Ghost knocked you off your horse. Amen. And made you cry out to the Lord. Ain't you glad that you're saved? When it's all done, we're going home. Amen. Father, thank you tonight for your word. Thank you for the good Holy Ghost. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that one of these days we're going to see you. What a blessing that's going to be. Lord, I pray, God, that this will stir us up tonight and stir up what's in the pot. And help us, Lord God, to rejoice over who you are and what you've done. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.